Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to another episode of Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 337. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and I am joined tonight by just one other co-host, Colin Crompton.
Hello, everybody.
Yep, it's just the two of us tonight. There are various reasons why it's just the two of us. So Lewis was sick, and so he was unable to join us, unfortunately. So
yeah, poor Lewis.
Yeah, everyone, keep him in your thoughts. Let's hope he gets through this. No, it's not that serious. Just a cold, so he'll get through it. So Harrison is still out because of the laptop problems, and we could. There are ways that we can get through it and get him to join, but I've been so stressed out lately that I can't hardly figure out, you know, exactly what to do about that. And so he will be joining probably periodically from here on out. We will see. Hopefully he gets a new laptop soon, though, and can join us for good again. We all look forward to that. And Justin had to take actually a hiatus for unknown reasons from both the podcast and the blog. So we'd like to also excuse him. So. Yeah. So, just Colin and I tonight. Tonight we are just going to do a two-part structure for you guys. We will start with what we've been playing and then talk about our feature, which is, we're calling it the Infendo Fresh Look. And this was, I just have to mention now, and probably again a little later, that this idea for this feature was actually sent in to us by a listener, Jason Ottermatt. So thank you for that. It's been a long time in the making, but I feel like I didn't realize the full potential of this idea for a feature until like maybe a couple days ago. And I was all like, oh, yes, we can really make something out of this. So,
yeah, I mean, it covers quite a broad spectrum. So it should be interesting to hear what you had to say about it.
Yes. And you too, Colin. So I hope you listeners will look forward to that as well. But to start out with what we've been playing, Colin, do you want to talk about a game or two?
I'm going to dive in. So I have a tale to tell about. I recently got a copy of WiiWare HD.
Yes.
I got a copy. I actually got two copies.
Okay.
Here. This is the reason why. I have two older brothers, and I said to them, you know, for Christmas, I'll take a choice of three games. A pre-order for Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate.
Ah.
A pre-order for Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Ooh.
Or Wind Waker HD.
Okay, now, good choices there.
Well, I like to think so. But now, this is where the trouble is, my two brothers, they don't really talk. They get on, but they don't talk to each other that often. And so, my older brother, not the eldest, but the older one, the one in the middle, he came to visit me and said, here you go, I've got your game, you know, I'm not going to wrap it up because we're adults. There you go. I said, oh, thank you very much. That very same day, postman came, knocked on my door. I said, oh, I've got a package for you. Oh, great, okay, what's this? And I opened it up, and then sure enough, there was Wind Waker HD. Twice. So I'm like,
So what's your plan for remedying this?
That was the original plan. But now I'm like, what I'll do is I will forward it to a friend and say, you know, there you go. And I shall, I'll get the eldest brother something nice for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And that's basically it. But, so I've been playing a bit with Wicker HD, and, it takes you back. The game's, 11 years old now, I think.
It doesn't age, no, though.
13
so good.
Years. Exactly. And this is the thing that, like, kind of blew my mind, because, I mean, when Wicker first came out, it looked so visually stunning because it was, you know, cel shaded and just the art style they chose. But you play the HD version, and it seems to be, you know, it seems much more vibrant. You know, it's a real treat for the eyes. I was like, "Whoa, this is amazing!" And I was just blown away all over again. And
The world feels bigger. I think most of that has to do with the fact that it's widescreen now. So
yeah,
feels bigger, more expansive, more beautiful. Of course, it's all the HD treatment kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, everything looks sharper and nicer, and yeah, it just looks amazing. Of course, that makes me excited for the Zelda Wii U game even more. I haven't got too far into the game, but I just think, you know, that's wow. You know, Nintendo know how to work their magic on me.
Yeah. Damn Nintendo.
Yeah.
You can make how me buy it. Anything.
Well, most things. But,
they're still working on Colin with the Mario series, so...
They're still working with the Mario series. They're still working with the Pikmin series. I'm not a big fan of Pikmin.
Really?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I could go through a bunch of them, but when they release something I like, it's always really good.
Yeah, so how far are you exactly? I'm just curious.
I've just got the third... you got to collect those orbs at the beginning. You go to Dragon Roost Island, and then you go to the forest... place, name escapes me as always, but you rescue the Great Deku Tree, and then I was always disappointed by Wind Waker originally because there's no third temple at the beginning because you do the first two,
right,
and then you meet Lord Jabin, and he basically just gives you the third one. There you go.
Yeah, but there is the first visit to the Forsaken Fortress. I think we talked about this on a show,
that's
possibly
true.
Before you joined the podcast, actually.
Yeah, that's before my time. but yeah, it's the Forsaken Fortress is I don't class it as a dungeon per se because it's quite short, but
yeah,
it's okay. But yeah, so I did like the slight tweaks though in the game because when you have to go get the cell, the guy who sells it to you won't just give it to you. Before he just like you. He says, could you just give me some money and I'll give you the cell? But this time, he asks you to go visit his friend that's in jail to help him get out of jail, which was quite easy. And that's how you get the tingle bottle.
Yes.
Which is, again, fantastic, you know, Miiverse integration. You can't really fault it. So,
it's all right. Well, I actually one time got a bottle. So for those of you who don't know the way Miiverse and Wind Waker HD work, you get these bottles in the ocean that you can open up on your gamepad. And they're basically just posts from people who posted at that point in the game. I actually, though, one time got a bottle that was in the sea. I picked it up. I looked at it. It was extremely inappropriate. So I was like, what the heck? So I went to view it in Miiverse and it had been deleted, but it still got through the Wind Waker HD, so there's the always that little hiccup once in a while.
So the censorship doesn't work on Wind Waker? Well, I haven't found that yet, but...
It probably does, but it might take a little longer, which is...
Maybe.
It's a slight problem. Like, I was a little offended by that, but...
It's like, whoa. That's it, because you don't know what's inside the bottle, but until you pick it up, you think, oh, what's this? And, you know, you can put screenshots on there and things. You can even take little, like, selfies of yourself, which is... quite nice. And of Link. And it's just fantastic to experience that game all over again.
Yeah.
And it's still good.
Yep.
It's still really good.
Pretty good. I actually, the HD version's the first one that I played, and I thought, like, this is so much like Ocarina of Time to me. And that was a slight turnoff, but the game is just so fantastic. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a little bit like Ocarina of Time. That game's fantastic.
Yeah, of course.
it's a good game.
Indeed, it is.
All right, so I guess I'll talk about what I've been playing next then. So last week, of course, I mentioned, like, I'm trying to remember exactly how 5 or 6, possibly 7 games that I am trying to tackle all at once. Yes, it's been hard, but I, you know, for years I've tried to come up with, like, systems that will allow me to keep track of what I'm playing and try to get, you know, some time playing each of the games that I want to play. And right now, I actually feel like I have it nailed pretty good. I put sticky notes on my mirror. Each sticky note has a game title, and I just kind of go through them in order and try to play at least a little bit in each game so that I'm making a little bit of progress in all these games that I have to play. So, actually, my mirror is just right over here.
It's an interesting method. I mean, see, the way I do play games is I only play 3 games at a time, and I won't play another game, a new game, until I've finished a game, you know, out
from
of three.
From the 3.
And then that's how I progress through games. But it's you know, everyone has their own way of doing it. Your method
seems trying to tackle their backlog. Stupid
yeah.
Backlogs.
Everybody's got one.
Yeah. Well, just to kind of like list off some of these ones on my mirror, I've got, you know, of course, the ones that I mentioned last week. Kingdom Hearts on the PSP. So we obviously don't need to talk much about that one. Muramasa, which I talked about last week. Fire Emblem, which came to the United States, the original, like, Western release of that series, which was... Remind me again which number it was in the series?
Oh,
was it 6 or 7 or just 5?
I think it's 6. 6 is, I think it's 6. I know they were quite into the series by the time we got it. So, yeah, I think
yeah,
it was
Japan.
6.
Yeah, Japan, yeah. So, but yeah, that's on the Virtual Console on Wii now, so we got that. I've been trying to finally complete Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney as well. That one's kind of a tough one for me to get through, but I'm at the epilogue, so hopefully soon. Yes. Super Smash Bros. For Wii U, of course, is on there. I'm actually trying to also play Yoshi's Island, which was, what is that game referred to as? Like, Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island?
The crazy numbering system is baffling because it's I don't know. I think it's Super Mario World 2.
Yoshi's Island.
Yoshi's Island, I think.
And I'm actually playing the GBA version, which I believe is called Super Mario Advance 3 Yoshi's Island. Let's just call it Yoshi's Island for now.
Just to confuse you even more, let's put a different number in there.
Yeah.
Well done, Nintendo.
I know, what the heck. All I put on there, though, was Yoshi's Island. I think that's the most what most people, you know, consider it to be called. The last one on there, of course, is Fantasy Life. And there's one more game that I strangely forgot to mention last week, and that is Pokemon Omega Ruby.
Pokemon.
So, those are all the games that I've been playing. Also, and I didn't put this one on my mirror because I've already played it extensively and beaten it in the past, but I have kind of gotten re-addicted to Fire Emblem Awakening, so there's that one as well.
You've relapsed into Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yep, relapsed is a very good way to put it. I just, you know, I have my favorite games, and it's really easy to get re-hooked on those, even as I'm trying to experience new stuff, so... That's kind of what I've been playing lately. I don't really feel like I can really expand on many of those. Even Fantasy Life, which I've played for well over 30 hours now. The thing with that game, in fact, I think I'm closing in on 40 hours in that game. I haven't even gotten very far through the storyline, and so there's not much I can say except that it's really addicting.
My main question about that game, because I'm on the fence about it. I mean,
okay.
Is the storyline, quite good? Or is it one of those... Is it more like a throwaway kind of plot that's just, a reason for you to do something?
I would tend to actually lean toward it's, throwaway.
Hmm.
It is just kind of in a... Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. Because new areas, of the world unlock as you complete the storyline. So there's still a ton of the world that I still haven't unlocked because I haven't been aggressively pursuing the storyline. But I don't. It's kind of good. It's hard to say. There's a couple of mysteries in this world that I keep thinking that definitely has to be solved by the end of this game. And so there is a little bit of suspense there, and I'm curious about certain things like the butterfly that you meet at the beginning of the game. I mean, it's a talking butterfly, and everyone seems, so shocked that this butterfly can talk, and so there must be a reason. Well, maybe it's, a human who got cursed into being a butterfly.
Fair, if a butterfly started talking to me, I would be pretty shocked, too. It's what's going on? Yeah, it's understandable.
Yes, and most of the other characters in the world are always oh my gosh, a talking butterfly, and there's actually some funny lines that come from that and from some of the other random characters. I think most people would consider it a pretty throwaway kind of story. Like, okay, let's just get through this storyline and open up the world so we can explore it. But I've been enjoying the weird characters, and I am, you know, there are some mysteries that I am curious to see how they turn out, really. There's actually the King of Castell. Castell's like the first town that you start out in. The king of this place, he's like a little kid, but he has a daughter who is older than his current physical form. So that's one big mystery. Like, what happened to this king? I think he's supposed to be an adult.
He discovered the fountain of youth. That's what happened.
Maybe, I don't know. That's the thing, is that there are some things that you're curious about as you play this game. So, story's okay. Does that, I don't know, does that make you think, like, I'm not going to bother getting the game then, or...
Well, no, I mean, I get that. It's not a huge thing. It's just, it's a nice little extra little tidbit to have. I don't know. I've read the reviews for the game, and I like the fact, you know, it's a level 5 RPG. I love level 5 RPGs. But, well, some of the RPGs tend to be a bit hit and miss, and
This might be a miss. Most of the reviews, yeah, they're not that great for the game, but I love it.
That's the thing. A game can review poorly, but still be absolutely amazing to play. Because it all comes down to personal preference at the end of the day. And, I don't know. I may have to wait for a price drop.
Okay.
If there will be one.
That would be a pretty good idea. I mean, you probably have a backlog just like anybody, and so.
Oh yes.
You may as well work on that and wait on Fantasy Life. Wait on the games that you're kind of iffy on. So that's not too bad a strategy. But I do really love the game, so I'll just leave it at that. So, I think that now will be a good time, though, to move on to our feature, which is Infendo Fresh Look. I'm just going to give you guys, I mentioned earlier, of course, that this idea was sent in to us from Jason Ottermatt. So these are his words when he sent in the idea. He says, idea for a feature, Infendo Look Back or Infendo Fresh Look. A look back at past products. Are they as good or bad as we thought? End question, that's kind of a question, I guess. So, I have on the notes here, like, promises that Nintendo, this is one thing that, like, popped into my head a couple days ago. I was like, we can talk about, like, the promises that Nintendo consoles made, you know, in their time. So I basically just listed all of Nintendo's consoles, and I thought we could just talk about those. We don't have to in any particular order. They're kind of in order chronologically, of course.
I think that makes perfect sense. We should do it chronologically.
So do you want to dive in and talk about the NES, or?
Yeah, sure, let's go.
So NES being the first big mega hit from Nintendo. Indeed. I don't know what the promise of this console was, because I didn't really pay much attention to how Nintendo advertised its consoles until the Wii. So I might not have a whole lot to say about these other ones, but what did the NES promise?
Well, see, again, this is a little before my time, but I have played on
it. That problem.
I have played on an old NES, and I mean, it's. I think the idea behind it was purely because in North America at the time, obviously the big video game crash happened, and mainly because there was so much bad products out there. No one knew what to buy, so they didn't buy anything, which I guess is the smart thing to do. And so Nintendo were like really brave of them, I've always thought, to just, you know, launch this system knowing that video games aren't really the thing anymore in North America. But they reached it anyway, and of course, as we all know, it became an overnight success, really. And I think the main promise of the NES was quality. Yeah, the Nintendo seal of quality. We're going to make sure that this has the good games that people will want to play. And I mean, they did. You know, I mean, because it came packaged with Mario, and straight away you thought, this game's really good, you know.
Yeah, it was how Nintendo restored faith in the home console industry is through the NES and the seal of quality and, you know, more honest advertising, like box art for early NES games had to depict like what the game actually looked like. So that's why a lot of the box art on original NES games has like a picture of a pixelated character or whatever.
That's right, yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, they showed you up front. This is what the game looks like, and we've made sure that it's good. And I mean, the NES does have some bad games. Every console has bad games.
Of course.
I think the NES overall, I mean, easily like 90% of the games that were released for it, I mean, you just couldn't get it elsewhere at the time. And, yeah, so, I mean, I think that's the main promise of the NES was buy games again. They're good.
Yep. The NES, like nowadays, is kind of considered by a lot of people to be one of the, if not the, best video game console of all time. Do you suppose that
question.
Is true? Yeah,
That's a hard question to ask. Probably not. Mainly, I mean, okay, it's a really good system because, you know, again, it's got a vast library of games. I just think the later the innovations that came later on make it a better contender. The NES is, I mean, you know, it's quite basic. That's because it had to be at the time. You know, it was cheap to make. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of tough to answer.
The question is, like, let's kind of like go back to the wording on Jason's question here. Is it as good or bad as we thought? I'm going to reword that to kind of say, like, is the NES as good as some of these, you know, video game publications make it out to be, as, you know, like one of the best consoles ever? In your opinion, I don't know. What's your opinion?
My opinion is, it's a fantastic system. I would not class it as the best.
Okay. So that's kind of putting it simple, I guess.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, I've been going through some NES games, and I promise I'll get back on this soon, especially now that kind of the holidays have come. I probably will have some more gaming time to do. But I've been, you know, trying to play some old games, specifically NES games, for Retro Redux. And I kind of actually agree with you, Colin. I feel like you can't buy an NES game in it and expect it to be as horrible as, like, these shovelware titles that we get today.
Yeah.
That are like My Little Pony, My Pet Shop, and stuff like that, that, you know,
yeah,
maybe a 10-year-old girl would like, even younger, actually. But yeah, so as far as, like, games go and quality of games, wow, the NES is just fantastic. But I don't know, I feel like it was just upped, especially by the Super Nintendo, which was like an NES that just did everything so much better.
Yeah,
I think
right.
The Super Nintendo is a fantastic system as well. And somehow the Super Nintendo graphics, to me, will never age.
Well,
it's
that
like
very,
impossible.
They're very classic. I mean, the majority of the games were 2D for a start. And, you know, I mean, that in itself has already made it somewhat timeless. But they're so well animated. They're so well detailed. It was the pinnacle of 2D, you know, games, I think, because of the amount of the detail they could put into them. I mean, certain games like Star Fox, I don't think you could look at that and think, you know, that hasn't aged well, because at the time the technology was rather limited. That was more of a showcase here. Look, we could do 3D on this supposedly 2D system. But, yeah.
So kind of moving on, since we are already kind of moving on to the Super Nintendo anyway, let's talk a little bit about the Super Nintendo. Is the Super Nintendo as good or bad as we thought? I think we basically just answered that question. Like, when we were tiny, it was an amazing system. And
right.
Even now, it still is just, it holds up so dang well. Such
I mean,
a good system.
Yeah, Super Nintendo, I mean, I completed my very first game on it, on the Super Nintendo. That was Super Metroid. And that's like my first gaming memory. It's like, yes. I'm so proud of myself. But, the system, I think the Super Nintendo will always look back, you know, people look back at that system and think that was remarkable. You know, because it just, it, even though it came out like after the Sega Genesis at the time, everyone was like, oh, the Sega Genesis can do all these things, and Nintendo were like, move out of the way, here's a Super Nintendo. And it just shows you how much it blew the opposition out of the water. It just had so many strong factors in the system. Mainly, I think, the sound. I think that was the biggest thing driving the Super Nintendo. Music was always good.
Yeah.
The sound, chip. The Sony SPC-700 sound chip, which was created by the guy who was known as the father of the PlayStation.
Ah.
Which is, that's another story altogether.
They kind of covered that in the book Console Wars, good book. But the Super Nintendo, I think, in terms of like the promises, the things it was promising, I think it really lived up to those as well. I think probably at the time Nintendo was just like, here's a Super Nintendo, it's just like an NES, but so much bigger and so much better that it'll blow your mind. And I think it really did back then, and it still does now, because the games are so good and timeless.
That's exactly it. I mean, it's going to basically live forever. I mean, the console won't, but its legacy will.
Yeah.
Because the memories people have with it. So.
Yep, that's how you make a successor to a console.
Indeed.
Nintendo, look back at your own history. Hello. So let's move on to, I just kind of skipped over the Game Boy for good reason. We talking about all of these would probably take forever, but let's move on to the N64. I think the biggest thing here was, 3D gameplay, man.
Ooh.
All 360 degrees of movement and so on and so forth.
I mean, the N64, it's well, the thing that strikes me the most about the N64 was how I didn't realize how late it was released. I mean, in Europe, I think not specifically the UK, but Nintendo 64 launched in March 1997. And that was, I didn't realise it was that late. I thought it was like early 96, but apparently not. Is it as good as we think it is, or as bad as we thought it was?
That is a good question.
It's.
I think the graphics have aged a lot.
They haven't aged fantastically well. But then again, that's 3D. Most 3D games do not age gracefully. I think the main way to compare it is if you play Ocarina of Time. If you compare the N64 version to the 3DS version, I mean,
there's no contest.
There's no contest at all. I mean, Link's face was a triangle, and that was it. It blinked occasionally, but that's good as it got.
And he's not even a he.
So, yeah. But, N64, I think the problem the N64 had was its game library. I mean, this is when the competition was getting quite fierce, and its game library was quite slim. I think it was only, just under 500 games were released for the system, which isn't a lot.
Yeah, when you consider how many bad games are usually released for a system.
That's right. I mean, most people can probably name their top N64 games. And, I mean, well, 3 out of 7 of those games would be rare games, because Rare was prolific during this just period. And that's basically what I associate the N64 with mostly, is Rare. But
in terms of gameplay, I think the N64 holds up pretty well. I think that it definitely held up that promise of just adding this new dimension, literally a new dimension to gaming and gameplay. I think that a lot of games are still pretty precise and pretty, smooth to play on the N64. Still.
I mean, the best case in point I can think of is Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that Mario, that's probably like the only Mario game I've actually finished, by the way, people. But it's, it's... I've always enjoyed the fact they had to show you the camera at the beginning. They had to literally show you that Lakitu was controlling the camera.
Nintendo pulled that off, man. I mean,
this is
probably one of the biggest leaps in gaming history, is from 2D to full on 3D. And Nintendo just like pulled it off so smoothly that it's quite miraculous, actually.
Yeah.
If you think about it, they could have botched it so bad.
Yeah, especially if you compare that you know, to other companies' first attempt at like a 3D, you know, 3D game.
Where's Pac-Man? Where's like the 3D Pac-Man game that's like as classic as Super Mario 64 or Ocarina of Time?
Yeah,
they don't exist. It doesn't exist.
Even Sonic's first foray into a 3D game didn't quite go so well. But no, Nintendo really, they dug deep, and that's basically the magic of Miyamoto, though. You know, he knew exactly what he wanted. And again, same, I mean, I think even the same thing with Ocarina of Time. When that came out, the game was huge. I mean, literally and figuratively. It was really long. It's, it's what showed you, you know, what 3D games could do. It's just a shame that no one really took a hold of that system and gave it the library of games that it probably deserved.
Yeah, it's got that handful of classics, but not, you know, that massive library. So,
that's right.
Moving on to the GameCube, just to keep this one short, what did the GameCube promise, and did it live up to that promise?
The GameCube, the premise behind the GameCube was pretty much the same premise as the Wii U, actually. The idea that, oh, we're going to bring third parties back, and we're going to have a deep library of games. And they kind of succeeded.
Kind of.
I mean, I love the GameCube. GameCube's great. The trouble was, it didn't have the support of the more major third-party developers at the time. I mean, Nintendo had, you know, strike deals like the Capcom 5. They called it the Capcom 5, even though four of the games that Capcom made migrated to other systems. So,
yeah.
That deal wasn't so good, but it's just I guess the main thing about the GameCube was I can't even answer that question. It's struggling.
Maybe again, it was just supposed to be kind of like the Super Nintendo was to the NES. It was just supposed to be like the N64, you know, 3D gaming, just bigger and better. But how did it stack up against the competition? There's another question for you. Didn't we talk about this at one point? Like, in terms of power, the GameCube is actually second or possibly first compared to the PS2 and the Xbox?
In terms of power, the GameCube will come second. Because the original Xbox was a massive brick. You know, the scary thing that looks like it'll attack you in your sleep. that thing, because it's so huge, I mean, it's basically a PC in a box, so hence the Xbox. That's like the first power wise. I mean, PS2 was the most underpowered console, but then that made things cheaper, to develop for. And of course, that's a tactic that Nintendo tried for their next console. And, it kind of works. But,
next console, as in the Wii?
The Wii, yes.
Yeah, we can move on to the Wii now. So Wii, that system, to me, I mean, obviously I mentioned it a little earlier, but the Wii is when I really started to pay attention to how Nintendo was advertising and how Nintendo was trying to, you know, get you to buy stuff that they were making. So the Wii is the big one for me.
I've got a pretty poor history of the Wii because I love my GameCube. I thought it was amazing. And then, like, oh, here's the successors of the GameCube. And, I mean, at first I was on board. I thought, okay, great. Nintendo's new console. The Revolution. Amazing.
That was a good code name.
I was like, yeah. Well, I think at the time, I was like, yeah, the Nintendo Revolution. That sounds pretty good. And then they changed the name, and I was a tad disappointed. The Wii is the... I still have, to this day, I haven't owned a Wii at all. The problem with it was, I mean, I'm not a fan of motion controls, you know, anyway, and of course the Wii was built entirely around motion controls.
It's so interesting. I mean, the Wii was a huge success, and it was a revolution. It, you know, like, motion-controlled gaming, I mean, that is largely due to the Wii, so if you ever use motion in your game, thank the Wii. Well, if you ever use it and enjoy it, but as far as the actual motion control, like, I think Nintendo promised, like, for the Wii, these really, really precise motion controls. Like, you swing your sword and your character will do exactly what you did.
That's right.
Did not live up to that quite. Twilight Princess is a really good example, because in Twilight Princess, and you know, it's probably better this way, but in a lot of games that involve motion control, it's just, you know, small little flicking.
Yeah, it's just, you just waggle it.
It's exactly how Twilight Princess is. You don't have to, like, you know, go all out swinging your sword so that Link will swing his sword. Really, it just takes a flick. It's like just a quick flick of the controller basically takes the place of the B button, which is normally what Link, how you use Link's sword, so.
Yeah. I mean, well, see, that's the thing. Again, I never played Twilight Princess on the Wii. I played the GameCube original, because he's left-handed, you know. Damn it. I eat these, you know.
So you're left-handed, I'm guessing?
No, I'm right-handed.
Oh, but okay.
I've always seen
you're
Link,
traditional,
you know,
that way.
The traditional Link. Even though I forgot to mention this last week, the trailer for the new Zelda Wii U, the gameplay they showed, Link was swinging his sword with his right hand, which concerns me slightly. But yeah,
it's just a trend. It's such a tiny detail to me that I don't care very much at all, honestly.
I'm a traditionist. That's the trouble. It's like, give me what I want. But So
you can either blame the Wii or thank the Wii, depending on your point of view and depending on the situation, because the Wii brought about a lot of things. Motion controls in gaming, Link being right-handed, and that's pretty much carrying on.
Yeah.
So.
But that's not to say the Wii doesn't have... I mean, I know the Wii's quite famous for having a lot of quite poorly developed games for it, but...
Yes, I think that's... Yeah, that's... I think the Wii almost brought back shovelware, and the video game crash of, what was it, 83 was caused because, you know, there were so many just products out there, nobody really knew what was what, and people were getting confused, and I don't think things are going that way that badly nowadays, but there are a lot of bad games out there, lot of those came to the Wii, so...
Yeah, and that was the problem. I mean, as soon as the Wii became a success, everyone jumped on it and was like, yeah, we'll release this. Anything, really. It was just... Even Nintendo got in a little bit with, like, Link's crossbow training.
Yep, that is true.
You know, I mean...
I heard Wii music sucked, too.
Apparently, I never touched it, so... But,
I have a friend who's a band teacher who played it. She said it was horrible. She's a band teacher, so yeah.
Yeah, that's a trusted opinion, but I mean, it's it's a shame. But the thing is, towards the end of the Wii's life cycle of the Wii, it's when they like switch gears and were like, yes, we're going to make sure these motion controls really work, and they brought out the Motion Plus, and that did intrigue me a little bit, because I played a little bit of Wii Sports at my brother's house. And then he got Motion Plus, and I played a little bit of Wii Sports Resort. I felt like the most controls sort of did live up to their promise with that attachment.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, it took him so long to do it, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. I've been a little disappointed with Wii Motion. The thing is, when the Wii U came out, and, well, when Nintendo announced it and basically said, like, the main controller for this is the gamepad, but it mostly actually will just use regular old Wii remotes that you can just transfer over if you have some of them still. So I thought, like, oh, that'll give, you know, Wii Motion Plus, another chance.
A second go at the bat, yeah, but apparently...
Nintendo hasn't done very well with that.
Yeah,
we've got Wii Sports Club, which has been like basically Wii Sports games just upgraded to, you know, handle online for one thing, of course, and the Wii Motion Plus controls. Mm. I think that turned out horribly. Like, I love playing the original Wii Sports Tennis, so I got Wii Sports Club Tennis, which uses the Motion Plus, and I think it's way too sensitive, the motion control. So for me, that did not work out very well. And so as far as that goes, I mean, I was really optimistic about, like, the second life that Nintendo could have given Wii Motion Plus. Yeah. But now I've been kind of disappointed about it. So for me, was Wii Motion Plus as good or bad as I thought? Like, I thought it was going to be good and it was going to get the second life, and nope.
No.
Hasn't been the case for me.
There was one, I think there's only one major game that I can think of that supported Wii Motion Plus, and of course it was Zelda.
Skyward Sword.
That's basically what they brought the device to do, and precision, ability to wield your sword with precision.
Yes. And I love Skyward Sword and the motion controls. It's extremely immersive. I just feel so... I feel powerful somehow playing that game thanks to the Wii Motion Plus. But just as far as other games go and other uses of the hardware goes, I think Nintendo has let us down on that front a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, especially like the early... If you go back and watch the Wii tech demos... And they were basically like, look what this system could do, because at the time we didn't know how powerful it was. And they made it look like it was really impressive. Because obviously Xbox 360 came out a year before the Wii was launched. And they made it look like, yeah, this can match that easily. You know, and like, no, it can't.
Why did Nintendo lie to us?
Well, I don't know.
In terms of fun... Yeah, I mean, I had plenty of fun with the Wii Sports. And that's the game that you mentioned when we talked about games that are good to play with family members or non-gamer friends, Wii Sports.
It may be the only Wii game I fully enjoyed, which is a little sad.
You need to play Xenoblade Chronicles then, man. That game is good.
Oh, I've played those. It's fantastic. I'm not denying that at all. It's just...
You have played it? And yet Wii Sports is the only game you've enjoyed on the system?
Well, about quite poorly worded, I think.
The only motion control game that you fully enjoyed.
There you go. There you go. Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
Let's clear that up.
Okay. Well, let's move on now to the 3DS then. I think the 3DS is a good one to talk about because Nintendo really talked about how, you know, like full stereoscopic 3D, glasses free. This is going to be amazing. I'll say right now that when Nintendo announced that, I thought the 3D was just going to look marvelous, and it didn't occur to me before I got the system that you might have trouble viewing the 3D if you moved the system around. Like, you get that double image when you move the system around. That didn't occur to me. I just thought it would be flawless, so I thought that would be good. It was not as good as I thought, though, going back to the wording of Jason's question there.
Well, see, when I heard about the 3DS, I have pretty poor depth perception as it is, so.
Oh dear.
But no, I looked into it. And I thought, well, so to me, this is basically going to become like a more powerful version of the DS. I love the original DS, so I'm on board. The 3D, I never used the 3D on the 3DS.
Exactly, me neither. Club Nintendo, like when you take surveys for. Games on Club Nintendo, one of the questions for 3DS games is like, what's your opinion on the 3D effect? I was like, I always put neutral because I can't have an opinion on that when I don't use it.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, how could you say it's good or bad if you never actually seen it? I mean, I Nintendo made this big, I mean, everyone knows the role of the video of Reggie where he's holding the 3DS and Bowser pops out.
And it
was like, look at that. And it's like, it's not that good.
The 3DS is a great system. It has become a fantastic system. But that's because of the games.
Indeed. I mean, at the moment, I think the 3DS maybe is on the verge of becoming the greatest handheld Nintendo have ever made.
Possibly. Such good games. When I think of, like, current-gen systems, I'm like, the 3DS is best by far. I think it's better than the Wii U by far. Purely because of its game library. Phenomenal in terms of games.
I can't disagree. It's just, I think also you look at what's coming up ahead, you think, there's some good stuff coming out. And the 3DS is going strong, which is great.
Yep. Still a lot of good stuff to look forward to as well. So it's sad that the 3DS is not currently really known as being a great system because of its, like, you know... Big draw, stereoscopic 3D, but at least it's a good system. Moving on to the Wii U, though, what did Nintendo promise with the Wii U, and what were we excited about, and how were we possibly let down?
Again, the Wii U, when I first saw the announcement, Project Cafe, which is the worst code name for a system ever.
I'll say, what the heck?
Yeah.
It doesn't even really make sense now that we know what the system is exactly. It's like, why would they call it that at
all? I know why it's called that. The AMD graphics chip inside the Wii U, there's a smaller chip that sits behind the main GPU processing unit, and it's called Latte. So it's codename. The graphics chip is codenamed Latte, and therefore they call it Project Cafe.
So I guess that was one of the big things, is that Nintendo was promising this technically powerful, superior system.
Of course, and Nintendo was like, they at that time, the Wii was underpowered, and they were like, okay, so we got a whole period of time before our competitors released their systems. We're going to show ours. And, I mean, you look at the tech demo, especially the Legend of Zelda tech demo. It looked incredible. I think it was just like,
whoa. I thought it looked uninspired, but that's just me. I mean, in terms of, like, the graphics being HD and everything like that, and that was great, but it looked so dull to me. I like art design way more than graphics.
True.
Graphics matter nothing to me.
True.
Art style, but that's just me.
I mean, well, clearly the point of the tech demo was, this is what the system can push out. You know,
power-wise,
very few games I think have taken hold of that at the moment. I think Bayonetta 2 is the best example I can give.
I think Pikmin 3 looks great, but I don't know. Don't have much to.
Yeah, I mean, well,
I don't have a real sense for these things, so.
But so the Wii U was first. Project Cafe was first announced, and they were like, we're going to bring back, the hardcore gamers. This is their main focus, was like the hardcore gamers, which
Nintendo.
It's a term which I don't really like that term at all. But this is what they're going to do, and they went out and they showed off, the tech demos for it,
the third party support,
the third party, the sizzle reel, third party sizzle reel, which consisted mostly of games that had already been out on previous systems. But,
yes.
I mean, okay, fair enough. At least they got the sort of right idea of what people want. And the Wii U comes out, and there's a rather large drought. Like, straight away. There's very few significant releases. And that's... Nintendo promised, the third-party support, and it basically wasn't there. And sad to say, to this day, it still isn't what it should be.
Yeah, I think Nintendo with the Wii U promised so many things, and pretty much every single one of those things was a failure. Third-party support, fail. Let's see, gamepad? Gameplay using the gamepad? It's a bit of a fail because, and people in the industry talk about this a lot, even Nintendo is kind of forsaking the gamepad a little bit.
Well, I mean,
case in point, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
Yes, exactly what I was going to suggest. Even Retro doesn't know what to do with it. I mean, I still think the best use I've seen for in-games is just a map. It's perfect.
I think Nintendo Land for, multiplayer sessions. If you want to have, a blast with your family, just play Nintendo Land. I think that's the best use of the gamepad so far.
I mean,
that's not saying much because Nintendo Land is not that great of a game. There's only one or two games I can say that I really like to play in Nintendo Land. So
yeah, I mean, the gamepad's the map, having a map on the screen, great. Also navigating menus. I mean, Boomerang HD, I love this. You can change your items on the fly. It's fantastic. You don't have to pause the game ever again. It's just continuous motion. That's fantastic. I mean, that for me would be the perfect gamepad usage. It's just flick over menus quick as you like. The competitors can't do that.
That and of course maps, which is why, the recent sneak peek at Zelda for Wii U, the gamepad use isn't thankfully. It's just a map. You can, you really are kind of an adventurer. Because Link would probably occasionally stop in a normal adventure to look down at his map. Well, you can do just that. Time to look at my map. And
it makes perfect sense. I mean, I think every time a company tries just innovative with the the gamepad, it even comes off as a bit hokey. Like, it's like, just like, you know, push your finger onto the screen. It's just, yeah, why? Why can't I just push a button? You know, things like that. I don't really like. I mean, okay, a good, like, good point is Arkham City, Batman Arkham City, you know, Armored Edition, has a load of kind of pointless gamepad uses. Like, you can set off bombs and things, and it's just like, well, I mean, I played it on other consoles, and you just push a button. It's quicker. It's easier. Can't you just let me do that? You can do that, but they've you know, kind of push you into, oh, use the gamepad. It's like, I don't really want to.
The Wonderful 101 had a kind of interesting use for the gamepad, which I appreciated, but if the whole game was like that, the use for in Wonderful 101 is that sometimes your team of fighters is like inside a building or inside a ship or inside something, and that's what you see. That's where you see them is on the gamepad. On the inside of this building, and what you see on the TV is like outside of the building or the ship, and so you kind of have to look between the two. So that was interesting, but I'm just glad that they kind of sprinkled that type of gameplay throughout sparingly, very sparingly. I'm glad that it wasn't actually all throughout, because it would have been completely exhausting to play like that the whole time. So that's another kind of problem. Like, it's interesting to occasionally do something like that, but you could not like build a whole game off of these concepts.
No. Which is slightly concerning with the two project games that they showed at E3. The giant
they're not
going to
be deep games.
Yeah, that's my concern. And especially when Miyamoto says, oh, we're thinking of integrating them into Star Fox. And I'm like, well, okay.
Just don't make it too difficult for us, please.
Yeah, you know, we just want Star Fox to be Star Fox. Don't add any wacky, crazy things. I always end up with another game like, you know, Star Fox Adventures, which was okay, but not great.
Yeah, so when it comes to the gamepad, keep it simple. But in the Wii U in general, in terms of, like, you know, like, Nintendo's trying to get us pumped about all these different things, well, it let us down on a lot of those fronts, unfortunately. Yes. It's unfortunate, but true.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be realistic about these things. That's not to say that the Wii U is a terrible system. I don't think it's a terrible system. It's a
great
system.
One thing Nintendo didn't really like put an emphasis on a whole lot, especially early on, is, you know, just first party Nintendo games, which is like the one big reason to have a Wii U right now, is because that's the only place that you can get authentic, amazing first party Nintendo games.
That's right. I mean, you know, it's. Yeah, you say it. And the Wii U, the main problem with the Wii U at the moment is it has been marketed well, especially over here anyway, in the UK. There's hardly any marketing at all. It's just all these things Nintendo said they were going to do. And especially when they said, oh, the launch window. All these games are going to be in the launch window. Most of those got delayed to outside the launch window. And that's where the initial drought came in. It's like, there's no games. And it's just so.
A lot of the good ones were the ones that got delayed. Of course, Rayman Legends and Lego City Undercover. Didn't that one get delayed as well? And that turned out to be an all right game, at least.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've heard that Lego's really good, but I haven't picked it up yet. Mainly due to price.
Oh, Nintendo. they're just trying to put an emphasis on the wrong things with the Wii U, which is really unfortunate. I feel like they just haven't handled it well. It's not that it's a horrible console, it's like Colin said. It's just that Nintendo they're a little bit lost right now as to how to get people to want to get this. They tell them one thing and that falls through, and So unfortunately, the Wii U has kind of not met a lot of expectations, but that's just that. I think, though, that we will call that good for the podcast. There's a couple of extra points here on the notes, but I think we have covered plenty. They're just kind of sub points, insignificant points. So we'll bring this to a close. So thank you very much for listening, as always, of course. If you want to send us questions or comments on anything that you heard today or on anything Nintendo related, of course, you can send them to us in an email at contact@infendo.com, or you can put a comment in the post on your web browser if you're there. You can also get a hold of us individually via our Twitter handles or our Nintendo Network IDs, which we will give out now. So I'm just going to quickly mention my Twitter handle is at Holly Felmuth, my name. That's spelled H-O-L-L-Y, F as in Frank, E-L-L-M-E-T-H, all one word. My Nintendo Network ID is Aeroweth. That's spelled A-E-R-O-W-E-T-H. So, Colin.
Yeah, okay. So my Twitter handle is at Hylian Bard or Hylian Bard, i.e. the Zelda race. Hylians. And my Wii U...
NNID.
That's right, NNID. Is Cole1990, so COL1990.
All right, so that's plenty of information for you guys to be able to get a hold of us, so please do. We haven't gotten a question in quite a long time, so just send us something wacky. A wacky question that we got kind of recently was, if you could be one Nintendo character for a day, who would you choose and why? So, you know, just crazy things like that will work. So please send us your questions and comments. With that, we have reached the close of our show. This has been Infendo Radio. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you later.
Goodbye, everybody.
Spam. Keep recording. Keep recording. There might be something else good that we say.
Maybe.
It always happens like after the show where we start goofing around and that's when the best stuff comes.
Cool. Yeah, that's pretty good.
But I'm going to stop anyway.
After that.